Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And Ellie?
Yes?
We've got a guest.
That's not unusual. No. We've not had a guest for about 145 episodes. So,
exactly,
okay.
Right. And her name is Ellie.
Yep.
Sarah Langford.
Yes.
Yay. Hello, Sarah. Hello. Langford.
Hello.
You're lovely. Thank you for coming.
We'll be the judge of that. We'll see how we go. It's only the very start.
I brought booze. That was why.
That's definitely, that is 5 points right there.
Lovely fizzy wine, Ellie. Yeah.
Not just fizzy wine, champagne.
Ooh,
yes. Although she did tell me it was re-gifted.
I love a re-gift. It doesn't matter. It tastes nice.
Yeah.
We've got Sarah Langford on the podcast because she's actually a barrister and she's written an amazing book that lots of people have said is good.
They have. Some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like The Times, The Guardian, various barristers who know about this shit. I mean, you're a barrister, you're an author now, and a mother of two boys. Is that right?
Two boys.
Yikes. Like Ellie. Now, we've got you on because we met one day. That's not a very good introduction.
That's a great story. That is a great story. No, you don't. We met one day. Love to read your autobiography.
Tell us more about that.
I was born one day. And then one day I went to school. And then another day I finished the school.
And had a nice lunch.
And then I was a comedian and then I was dead. The end. Is that how it's going to go?
Yeah. No, we've got Sarah on because she has written this incredible book called In Your Defence. And she's a barrister and she's young and gorgeous. So not...
If she was old and ugly, we wouldn't have her on.
No, but my point is that when you think about barristers, I think of people like Rumpole or the Bailey and you think about old... kind of barristers, and you're just not that. You're smart and savvy and fabulous. And Ellie and I both read your book, and it's brilliant and fabulous. So we wanted to talk to you about that. But let's crack on first with the family chat because that's what we like to do. We're going to unpick the lawyer. We're going to go beneath the wig to begin with, so to speak.
Can I ask about the wig? Because I know everyone asks you about the wig. It's really boring, isn't it?
It was only when I got the email I thought, yeah, I should have brought it.
Oh, don't worry, because people say to us all the time, like, oh, we thought you'd be wearing your gold cat suits, as if we literally go to Sainsbury's in them and stuff. We do understand that you don't have to wear. Although if I was a barrister, I'd totally
would. Yeah.
And are they like really expensive? Like they're made out of old man's hair.
What?
I mean,
Prince Philip. It's all Prince Philip's hair. He just grows it and gives it to the bar.
Horse hair.
Horse hair. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's always been horse hair then.
It's pretty much always been a horsehair wig, yeah.
Okay, right.
All these old men growing hair down to their ankles and then going and having it shaved off so they can make a fucking judge's wig
out
of it.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So does it smell horsey?
Some of them do.
Do mine, they?
Yeah. I've had a number because I got mine was stolen.
Oh.
Which always amused me a bit because I thought of the guy who broke my car window and nicked it, thinking that it was a briefcase and then took it back to his room and opened it and it was a horsehair wig, a law book about criminal defence.
Yeah.
And, you know, a gown and a collar.
But he set himself up for stripping, so that's good.
Yes.
Got a lot of work out of that.
It didn't appear on eBay.
I looked a lot.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh. How much do they cost?
I mean, they are a lot. They're a lot. They're like, the whole shebang is probably about 500 quid.
And the old men, what, they get about a tenner each for, yeah, for the hair they donated.
Yeah. Old Arthur and old Walter growing their hair every year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sharing out
on the
them.
Island of Shetland or something. Like some old Scottish people just growing hair for lawyers. A charity to grow some hair for lawyers.
It's like a battery farm. And yeah, they just have it last of the summer wine on a big screen in a big shed all day.
Yeah,
and the men
right.
just sit there
combing
and just
their hair.
Yeah, they just feed them port like through a little dripper. Like yeah, I'm imagining it now. It's a beautiful scene. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about your family, aren't we? Not your hair.
That's right, because we've skipped ahead a few years. Like, yeah. You weren't born a barrister, were you?
No.
In fact, you were told at school that, well, you certainly weren't told you'd be a barrister, were you?
No, when I left my school and went to my sixth form college, I went with a little kind of bundle that went with me, and I opened it when I wasn't supposed to, and there was a letter from my headmistress that said, Sarah Langford will never be a high flyer. I thought, I'm 16, it's a bit early, isn't it?
Wow!
Right,
Thanks!
Actually, in hindsight, thanks. Because yeah. it's been a very loud bell.
So it was a nice kick in the bum.
It was
like,
a bit.
Fuck you, yeah, headmistress. I will fly very high.
I mean, a couple of years of, you know, believing that that was true. And then, yeah.
So you went to pilot school just to prove everyone wrong.
That's right. Did a couple of years at EasyJet. And then, so you didn't start off doing law. You were doing what, arms
no,
or something
I did.
Like that?
Yeah, it is a light. Now being a criminal barrister, I think it's basically a lifestyle choice. Which is, I could only afford it because I did civil law as well.
Oh, right.
What's
get
that?
Paid, which is family.
Okay.
And I used to do kind of whiplash claims and stuff. So I did three areas for a bit. And I remember doing a no-win, no-fee case where I got paid three times the amount that I had just earned on the four-day GBH trial that I finished.
Mm.
I mean, you do... So I think the average take home salary for a criminal barrister is something like 28,000 to 29,000. It's not much for a job that you've got to work every weekend and you've got to work in the evenings, and also you've kind of like, if you mess it up, then the stakes are quite high.
Mm.
So it's not a lot for that. And I think a lot of people are talking about it now because there's 40% cuts in the last 10 years.
Mm.
So there was a huge push towards making the bar less like Rumpole.
Yeah.
So the entry point's 50-50 for men and women. I think even more women actually slightly go into the bar now, then they all drop off as they get to their kind of 30s and so. But that, if you can't afford to go back to the bar because of kids, like me, then you are not going to have a diverse legal profession.
No, everything's fine if it's not diverse. That's my opinion.
Well, it kind of is. Yeah. It's especially the case if you think about where you get your judges from, which is from the bar.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you've got people who are making law that aren't diverse, then that does affect everyone.
Yeah. Can I ask a really stupid question?
Mm.
What is a barrister?
I've met solicitors that don't know what a barrister is.
Yeah, because I know, like, the lawyers sort of represent you, but do you... You say it.
The easiest way of comparing it is like a GP and a surgeon.
Oh, right.
So if you've got a problem that you don't know how to solve, you go and see your GP and they go,
I actually call the A-team, but okay.
Or with your doctor.
Yeah.
you have a kind of general knowledge of lots of stuff. As a solicitor, you have a general knowledge of lots of stuff and you try and get your client as far through that as you can in the way that GP would.
Yeah.
And then if you can't, because it goes to court... That's when you get a barrister in to do the like showing off bit.
Yes, it's like when you're playing Monopoly and you get four houses, and then by then you need to get a hotel.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
No, I like her analogy better, which by the way was perfectly adequate. I had understood from Sarah's analogy.
It's the bit in court.
Do you think you have to be a show off to be a barrister? Is it a certain kind of person who does it? Yeah, yeah.
It's like The Firm or A Few Good Men. Like, you want those sort of dramatic court scenes, and you like go, I object. You can't handle the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. As much as you long to do that, you're not allowed to here.
There are no gavels.
There are no gavels.
Shut up. I'm cross.
No. I don't know why you bother,
There's
Sarah.
There's no banging.
I would just say, but you can see he's a prick. Yeah. He is a prick.
Yeah. He's mental. Look at him. He's mental. He's mental. He's obvious.
allowed to do that.
What a shame. We could have made a great defence team.
I think we should revolutionise the law and the bar. Really, yeah. We could
it up.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
Yeah. We could get anyone off. Also, we could be lawyers. But that's another story. Look, shall we get into the meat of it? Yeah. Shall we get into the book?
I want to get into the book, Ellie. It's such a good book.
Yes. So the book is called In Your Defence, Stories of Life and Law. And, well, you nutshell it for us, please, Sarah.
It's 11 different stories, 6 criminal and 5 family. And you follow the protagonist, who is the person who finds themselves at the mercy of the law, from the beginning of their story. I get involved, and it ends at the conclusion of the case, often. Mm. So I wanted to write something which was different from the ones that I had read before, which very often kind of, and very amusingly often as well, dealt with what was going on at the front of court. All the stuff about the lawyers and the judges. And I always thought that the people who had brought them there in the first place were quite often kind of reduced to a quite two-dimensional view of who they actually were. The people that I used to come across are really complicated. I wanted to take people into these people's lives and show them all the kind of complexity of it and make them think that there might be another side to these headlines that they read about people who find themselves in courtrooms.
Well, I think it's a brilliant book and very readable, not least because let's be honest, the stories are poo length. You can have a relaxed poo and get a whole story in.
Yes. Like that. I was thinking more kind of nap length, but
yeah. You can have that as a quote for the paperback. If
that's
you like.
Right.
I like that the stories are poo length. Elegant,
excellent,
scummy
excellent.
Mummies.
That's why I thought half my for my little divider.
Yeah. Oh, I love the bookmark. It's a nice touch. But it does make you think about things in a different way, because like when you. One of the cases is about taking a child away. Mm. You realise what's happened to that mother and what her experience has been, and that this has happened before, and it really makes you think about things in new ways.
I literally can't. That's the best thing that anyone can say about it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I want to do, is to make people think, oh yeah, actually, maybe there is another side to it. Because there are no, that's what you learn when you do this job. It's really messy. You are kind of presented with these nice, neat, black and white books that you read, and that's what the law is, and that's what the sentence is, and the law feels very kind of straight and straightforward, but you've got to squeeze these kind of human beings and all their kind of grey squidginess into this very straight structure, and that means that you often get, various kinds of truth. You can have 2 versions of a story. Both of these people are absolutely right in what they're thinking. That case is a really good example, because there are lots and lots of cases I did where that was exactly the problem. Who do you take the gamble on, the baby or the mother?
That's it. I think you describe it as do you take a punt that the mum can pull it together, but that's potentially at the expense of the child. Do you conduct an experiment on a child?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But we have a really high removal rate. We've got the highest removal rate in Europe, in Western Europe, of taking children away from their families. And it's really, when you look at kind of, and I haven't bogged it down with stats, but I have kind of wedged them in at the end. So there is a section at the end that's got the kind of drier stuff about.
Yeah, I skim read that bit, being honest.
I didn't read it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That was more of a long wee for me.
Well, then I will summarise.
Good. For the legal nerds, it's wonderful, I'm sure.
But you can have 2 areas, two local authorities that have got relatively similar demographics, and their removal rate's different. So it really depends on how the person who's in charge of it, how they think about what they're doing when they are making applications for care orders. There was an amazing example in Leeds of a guy who went in. They, Ofsted, declared them inadequate, and he was kind of shipped in. And he massively reduced the removal rate, and he totally flipped over, he's called Nigel Richardson, how they approached it. So rather than saying, we are going to focus on the child and remove the child, they focused on the whole family and put in support for the whole family, which of course is expensive. So a lot of the solutions to all this stuff are kind of basically, I'm afraid, throwing loads of money at it at the beginning, and then you save loads of money at the end. But that, I think, probably applies to a lot of stuff.
Yes, like Monopoly.
Yeah. Yes. Let's have another Monopoly.
That's how you get
that's
your
it. Yeah, no, yes, you invest in the properties early on. Spend the money and you'll get the rent back. That's what I'm
the
saying.
The question is, do you want to be the old boot or the top hat?
I know.
That is it.
Oh, I never wanted to be the boot.
Nobody wants to be the boot.
I quite like the ship, to be honest.
Oh, I like the top hat.
Yeah. I remember the ship.
There was a ship. Oh. There was a ship.
There was definitely a ship.
Okay, I definitely wasn't the ship.
Oh, you had it doctored game.
My friend Rosalind was always the dog. Anyway,
good times.
Monopoly chat done.
Yeah. Excellent.
But they're really intense topics. They're really serious topics. But I didn't want it to be a book. I wanted it to be entertaining, not in a frivolous way, but in a readable way, because they're quite heavy. They're heavy subjects.
But what I would say is that you really humanise the law and you humanise the cases. And so it reads like a diary. But what I think is quite different is that you have a sense when you see cases in movies or on TV shows that there's some amazing kind of redemptive end. It's like, and everyone cheers and it's all Erin Brockovich. But here there's some sadness and there's some hard, really hard decisions. And, there, you know, not everybody wins.
And you don't necessarily always know how it ends up. You've got to look. I think we love knowing what the truth is. I mean, I think that, you know, you see that with kids quite a lot. They, you know, it's quite black and white. It's quite
good, you know, and bad.
Is it? Yeah. And I think that's why we like watching and reading crime stuff and spy stuff, because it's nice and satisfying to have like, oh, that's how he did it.
Yeah.
That reveal. And life just doesn't really do that. Not really.
And there are sort of happy-ish endings to some of the stories and stuff.
I think so.
Yeah, and there is some dark stuff. And there is a bit about a paedophile, and I found that very hard just to read.
Yeah.
And so how do you defend them? I know you must get asked that a lot, and that's probably an annoying
question.
Well,
that's kind of why I put it in, because when people say, how can you defend someone who's done something awful, that's usually what they're thinking of. Someone who's been charged with offences against children. And so that's why I wanted to tackle that. And the case that I chose was one of a few cases like that, where the guy did not fit the stereotype of a paedophile.
So he was very young, and he said he
with his parents.
It was about exchanging pictures. Yeah. So he wasn't accused of touching anyone, he'd been exchanging pictures.
Yeah.
And he was brought into that when he was a young lad by older men on the internet. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But you do also talk about other cases where there's sort of worse stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it in a sort of accusatory, how can you? I mean literally like I don't know if I could.
I think it's really
hard. Even if I believed it, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, it's really hard. And this is what you also learn, which I hope I explore, is how you build up your armour. How you have to separate yourself from your job. And that is a battle. You walk down this kind of really odd line between your personal and professional, when you need to be able to be empathetic towards your clients, I think.
Even if they're really dreadful.
Well, I think you need to at least try and understand people, or have that part of yourself open rather than be completely shut off from it. But it's really hard when you're presented or you're locked in a cell with someone who's done something really heinous. It's hard not to let your own human instincts towards that person take over. So you do kind of build a professional armour, but what really trumps it is that you do genuinely, and I know very few barristers that don't feel like this, believe in the system. So you kind of think, I don't need to like them, I don't even need to believe them, that's totally irrelevant. What is important is that they get a fair trial, they get a fair hearing, because if that fails, then, you know, we're America.
Because I guess who are we to judge whether or not, you could say, well, does everybody really deserve a fair, you know, if they've obviously done it and it's obviously terrible, but then who are we to decide if they've done it or not, I suppose, is that the thing?
Well, if they've pleaded guilty, then they've obviously done it.
Right.
So if you...
Unless it's a false confession, we've all seen Making a Murderer.
Well, you're not wrong. Yeah. you can't have a double standard when you're talking about a system which holds everybody to account, and I mean the government as well as the bus driver. Like, you, if we're gonna be able to say, and I, most people I speak to about this, just kind of assume that the law exists as a sort of bubble above them, and it's all ticking along fine. And if they got mugged tomorrow, or they witnessed a, you know, awful murder happen around the corner, that the machine would kind of kick in and it would all be smooth, and the judge they appear in front of is not party political, hasn't been bribed by anyone, isn't going to take a very hard line because they want to get re-elected, which is obviously the American system, next month. So if we think it's all, we've got a pretty good system. In theory, in practice, it needs things that it's not getting at the moment. But in theory, we've got a pretty fair system. And if you start making, if you start making judgments about who is eligible to have that system apply to them or not, then you're in a very dangerous place. And we all know, we can all kind of wheel out all the people who've been sent to prison when they shouldn't have been, but, and have then been exonerated, like Guildford Four and so on. But I think it's more, I think it's more the case that we want to believe, we want to trust it. We want to trust that it's going to work as a victim, as a witness, as a defendant. And it only works if it's equal and fair.
Yeah, man. That sounds excellent.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Monopoly.
Yeah. It's like she's a bloody lawyer or something. Unbelievable.
Very clever lady.
The defence rests.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, for our listeners, and one of the things, I mean, you engage a lawyer when you buy a house, but one of the things that's going to happen to, obviously, 50% is divorce. And whether you go through it or you're supporting a friend, I guess it would be nice to hear what advice you have for people, because, like, the amalgamation of the stories that you're in paint a very strong and hurtful picture of what it's like to go through it, and when you're involving children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think kind of the strongest advice I could give is stay out of court.
Okay, good. Don't get you involved.
Don't.
Stay away from Sarah.
I never want to meet you.
Okay, good. All right.
It's, to be clear, I didn't do ancillary relief, which is the money bit, because I found that was almost more sort of heated in a way than the kids bit, because with the children's bit, at least you got the trump card, which is think of your children. But so I did represent parents who were arguing about various aspects of their children's life, whether it was who the children lived with or how much one or the other saw each other or so on. And by the time, much like the GP and surgeon example, by the time I saw them, they'd been having this fight for a really long time.
Yeah.
And very often were very, very entrenched in their views of their ex-partner and what they wanted to happen and so on. And we've got, I mean, we've got a really, really old school system. The sort of physical process of getting divorced, where you have to do a petition to get, you know, you put in your, it's another way of saying application to get divorced. And you have to tick off what the other person's done wrong. And most often it's kind of unreasonable behaviour. The point is, you've got this completely perverse situation where you've got solicitors
like
saying
a blame
to their,
divorce.
Totally, exactly. Yeah. You've got solicitors saying to their clients, it's not enough. Like, obviously you'll get it. You hardly ever see defended divorces where you have an argument about the reasons. But you've got to, by law, you've got to kind of bump it up a bit. And you've got to sign a statement of truth at the bottom. It's a legal document. And they've, in fact, in October, the government published a report about no-fault divorce, which linked to a charities report that was done the previous year, which said all the arguments against having a no-fault divorce, was they sort of pounded them, the idea that divorce goes up. It does in a way, because there are all these people that have been hanging on, and there's a bit of a rise, and then it settles down. In Scotland, they have no-fault divorce, and given the option between blame and no-fault, 6% choose to blame. Everyone else chooses no-fault. And we, the stats from ours were something like 70% of respondents strongly disagreed with the accusations made against them. So right from the beginning, our legal system says blame the other person.
Fight.
Exactly.
Fight,
basically. Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
This, and this.
We need more. Who's the biggest tosser? Let's go.
Basically, isn't it?
I mean, come on. You're in this kind of, you know, you're in the fire pit anyway. You're trying to wade your way through all sorts of kind of awful technical stuff like house moves and selling, dividing assets. Like, to add just this another layer of animosity on the top of it is unnecessary. And it really affects people. You know, I've had conversations with friends who are going through it, and they say stuff that you think, just don't go down that road. Don't. I think the kind of advice-wise, apart from try and stay out of court, which is possible now because they make you try and go to mediation beforehand, so you have to tick a box saying that you will at least kind of find out it, is the law in terms of children is very clear that it's completely irrelevant what the father or mother wants. Doesn't matter what they want.
Okay.
It's only about what is in the children's best interest.
Okay.
So I think that for people who are getting divorced, if they are able to put that filter on, rather than go, I'm not going to give, why should he have every weekend? I want to see them on weekends. Why should, you know, and use it as a bartering tool. When people don't even, I think people don't know that they're necessarily, because they're really hurt and frightened about what's happening. I think if you're able to put the filter on and say, can I say that this is in what the kids want as opposed to what I want, then that'll pass the test, the legal test. It's really hard.
That must be really hard if you're in it.
And you're
already at the point where damage has been done and such terrible things have been done to you or you've done to each other. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, it must be really hard.
It's really hard. And I think that's what I try and get across in that particular chapter, is that a lot of the time people don't necessarily want to have a slam dunk in their case. They just want somebody in authority to go, you're the good person.
Yeah.
He's a total...
You want validation.
You want validation that you did all the right things. He was the one that left with the secretary. You're the one that washed the socks for 20 years. You know, he's should not get what he wants.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's not what the court's for.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's really hard. And I understand why it's really hard, because I would no doubt feel exactly the same, that you want someone in authority to go, you are a good person and you're better than him, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But... We can't.
We all know.
And has it changed? Because you do talk, I think, it's not really spoilers, is it? Because it's sort of short stories. But you talk towards the end of the book about becoming a mum. Mm. And has that... So are you practising now?
No, I haven't gone back since I had my children. For lots of reasons, but partly it's the worst job to do with kids ever. Because family is a bit better, but criminal... is so chaotic that you don't necessarily know where you're going to be the next day. You don't know when you're going to get home. You don't know when you're going to leave. And it took me a really long time to work out that the people who did it had someone...
Had a wife. Yeah.
And I...
Had a backstop.
They had a big backstop. That backstop wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I interviewed Helena Kennedy the other day,
who
I never met. She gave me a really... nice quit, and I ended up being asked to interview her for something, and at the end I was like, God, how did you do it, because she's married to a really high up surgeon,
and they've got kids, I had a nanny
live with me. I was like, oh, of course, that's how you do it.
Yeah, you need someone there 24/7.
You do.
And if your children get sick or any of that sort of stuff,
you need I had my eldest and then was thinking about going back after, in that first year afterwards, I've looked through my chambers. We're quite big chambers. I tried to find someone who had under school age kids that was in court every day. I found one, and I kind of got hold of her and was like, how do you do it? She goes, oh, well, I've got a nursery at the end of the road that's open 8 till 6. My husband's got a really flexible job, so he can work from home, and my mum lives around the corner. I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, fine. You need a village. You need a backup.
You need a backup.
All the things.
You do a bit.
But then there's a challenge as well. You talk about how there's, it's quite open in some offices. They talk about, oh, they give the big, really important, like, big number cases to the lads.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, the birds will be, you know...
They want half term.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so one of the advantages with some kind of friends who have gone back because they've had a husband that works from home and so on, they have usually made it work for them by working flat out during the term. So that means kind of, you know, every Sunday evenings and so on. And then they take off holidays and half terms and so on. Because you're self-employed, so you can. But there is, it's quite old school, the bar still. They're trying to change it. They're trying to drag it in. And actually, funnily enough, the Me Too kind of movement took a lot of this in its wake. A lot of these kind of issues were able to be spoken about in a way that weirdly people hadn't felt able before. But so they are trying to kind of drag it up, but it's still kind of, you still get told, I've heard, it hasn't happened to me, you still get told, well, you know, you wanted to go to the ballet recital. So it's not on merit, it's on who's been a good boy. Which
who's
is
neglected their family the most.
Yeah.
You get the
who's
prize.
Neglected their family?
Yes. It's the same, you get the money. Yeah.
It's the same argument between letting women go out for a bit and look after their children until they get to an age where they're a bit more self-sufficient. And then going back, you think, well, if you support that, then that barrister's going to come back to the chambers and be with you for the rest, and then she'll go and be a judge and she'll go... So yeah,
they're doing it wrong, basically. That's wrong. Yes, exactly right. Excellent.
I mean, don't think it's any different. There's lots of professions, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's exactly the same right. Line, yeah, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, there's that and like architects. That's another thing.
That is another profession. Yeah.
Yes, exactly
do you
right.
Want to list anymore?
Yes, you get the big houses and
vets.
The little. Yes,
vets.
Yes, get
sheds.
The big animals and then the women get the little animals. I mean, that's what it's all about, really.
Milkmen.
Yes.
Any other professions?
Truck drivers get a really short
half
run.
Pint.
Yeah, that's it.
Surveyors. We done?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Good.
But just going back to sort of you personally, do you think if you did like sort of go back tomorrow, do you think mentally you'd have like how would you
definitely
cope
I think
with it?
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I think that this book, I couldn't have written it if I was doing it every day, because mainly my editor sort of broke the armour down. I would have written myself out of it completely, and she was the one going, come on, I want to know what you think. How did you feel? You know, your kids break you, don't they? They can break you open. And I never cried before I had kids.
Yeah.
And now I basically can't stop. So that sort of emotional unlocking, I think it probably applies to lots of women though, doesn't it? Having a professional face that they have to put on and worrying about their kind of private face when they go back to work.
Yeah,
impacting on how they're seen and whether they're seen as kind of weak or...
Or you do what Ellie and I did, and after we had kids, created a whole career of just...
I think that's basically...
Celebrating fucking up.
Yeah.
Or write a book.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's the same. It's basically the same.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Shall we have a game? Can we have a game?
Yes, let's have a game, Helen.
Okay, I have created a new game, listener.
I like the sound of this already.
And I like its presentation.
Yes, it's always good when I do games. And this game is called, everybody, Grime and Punishment.
Yes. Nice.
See what I've done there. See what I've done.
Yeah. Please tell me it's about grime music.
Please tell me it's not about grime music.
Well, I was trying to do it at home before I came here, like create the game, and Will was like, I think you should talk about grime music. I was like, no, we're not going to do that, because what we're going to do is I have three bowls here of anonymous things. The first bowl contains a grimy crime, right, that my husband or Ellie's husband may have done. So crimes of husbands, right?
Topical.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we've got the punishment. And then how long they have to do the punishment for.
Ooh.
So this is like your profession. So yes. This is like the judgment kind of thing. So should I just do an example just so it actually makes fucking sense?
No,
so,
yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, so this one says, sits on a pile of clean clothes.
Oh, that's annoying. Who does that?
A husband.
Why would you do that? Yeah.
Sees a sofa with just a pile of clothes. And instead of moving the clothes...
Because that would be really bad.
Not in my house. But just a pile of clean clothes and could move it, maybe put it away. No, just sits on it and watches the telly on top of it.
Oh, that's infuriating.
Yeah. Right.
Surely that's on the ticket off divorce list.
Yeah, all right. So maybe this could be, we could use this for later on. And then so the punishment would be scrub the dirty oven until he cries.
Until he cries.
I'm in.
Okay,
all right.
I'm going to have a turn. Okay. Returns milk bottle to fridge empty. Does he do that? Fucking hell, Helen, you're living with a monster.
No, this is not about him, as I said 2 hours ago when I was writing. It's just some general crimes that may or may not have happened.
It's just a mishmash of crimes based on different people you've been married to. Okay, let's go with that. Play Lego with the kids. Oh, that's pretty dull.
That's pretty hard. For how long, though?
Four hours.
Do you think that's a good punishment?
Yeah.
Legal mind. All right, yes. You have a good dip, Sarah.
Go for it, Sarah.
Leaves the hair.
Leaves face hair in the sink.
In the bathroom sink.
You know, I like you specified face. If it's pubic,
I know, that's why I had to do. I went back. So the punishment would be
scrub the loo.
Yes, scrub the loo for.
Well, I mean, to be honest,
when he's done the fucking sink,
he probably should, because it probably would be
a whole night.
Ooh. I think that's necessary. I think it's kind of disproportionate to the crime, actually.
Yeah. Harsh, all right. Yeah. Maybe that's a bit too harsh. All right. I'll have another.
Lily livered liberal.
Leaves toilet roll empty.
Oh,
you know, like, you know,
sake,
like, a,
yes.
No, I don't like that exactly right. So he would have to clean the fridge.
Oh, yeah, that's really gosh.
For half a day. I think that's fair.
I don't hate cleaning. There are things I'd rather.
It's satisfying at the end. Hangs out washing too late.
That means it's gone on the turn. Gone on the turn.
Smells. Have to put it back again.
Yeah, it smells like a wet dog.
Yep,
so he would have to.
Let me lie down.
Yes.
Let me lie down.
Just let me lie down.
Yeah.
For
27 hours.
Yes.
Oh,
27 hour lie down after that. Oh. Thank you very much.
That seems good. Half finishes dishes, leaves pots.
Oh.
Now, I will say, in my house, we put everything in the dishwasher.
Even pots,
I believe it's a dishwasher. That's what it's for. It's a washer. We've said that before. It's a dishwasher. So we usually just put the pots. But what my husband does is...
Do you put pots in the dishwasher?
Yeah, of course.
Do you? Why fucking not?
What if it's got a wooden handle?
Might have a wooden handle.
What? I didn't know you could do... Okay. Am I going to do that?
Yeah. So I put, but then, and when he's emptying the dishwasher, he always leaves like just one item just on the side.
Why?
It's like a mental thing. He can't finish the job. It might be a bit of Tupperware. It could be a cheese grater. It's just a random object he will not put away. It makes me want to kill him.
What is more annoying than this, though, is leaving things to soak.
Because then
the water is cold. With
Yuck.
A skim,
oh.
and you have to go in to get the plug because you can't wash the pot in the water that's been soaking in.
No, it's gross.
My dad does that. Drives me mad.
No.
So, basically we're saying dishwashing related misbehaviour.
Yes.
The punishment is to listen to Baby Shark. That's a good one.
For how long?
until I say so.
Wow. Could that's be a day, good. Could be a lot,
an could be a lifetime.
Punishment. Could be, exactly. Excellent. Right. All right.
Eats toast in bed. I eat toast in bed a lot.
I eat toast in bed, drives my husband a bit mad. Yeah.
God, you get a crunchy
or in
back.
The bath as well. Eat toast in the bath.
Eat toast in the bath.
I love it.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
But the punishment is?
Talk to my mother.
Yes.
My husband would like that more than me.
Wait, Helen's mother. Or...
Whose mother are we talking
just
to?
Talk to
forever.
Her. Forever.
All right, one more dip. Doesn't use a tissue.
When?
Well, like what are we talking about?
Well,
wanking,
you know,
or sneezing.
Well, both is gross, isn't it, really? Like, just I don't like just a constant nose wipe, I think.
Do you have children?
Yes.
I mean, with the sleeves?
Yes,
I mean,
like, yes.
I use a tissue on their sleeves. Where they come like, snot, snot. And it's kind of hanging off. Yeah.
Back massage.
Oh, yes.
For 2 days.
That'd be annoying, though, would it?
Yeah, I'm not a big massage.
No, I know you don't like it. You don't like a touch.
I don't like a massage. Don't touch, it's English. Sniffs loudly.
Oh, I can't do
it's
sniffing.
It's so annoying. I saw that on the train the other day where there was a sniffer, and the woman next to me, you could feel every part of her want to just like wipe his nose. And in the end, she went, and she found this old tissue right at the bottom. She went, do you want it?
I've done that as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cunnilingus.
Nice.
Is the punishment.
Yes.
Me might like it. Some people like it.
I don't know, but about how
likely it's in our house.
No, I can't say that. I'll tell you about it later.
I mean, that would not... 10 seconds.
Oh, that's not enough for anybody.
It's not enough for anyone.
No.
It depends on my mood. Might do.
Well, I've learned something about everyone tonight.
Oh,
crime
there
and
we
punishment.
Go.
There we are. Good.
And the winner is, well, it's not really
the law.
Them.
The law is the
law.
The law is the winner.
Which means it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confession.
Hooray!
What have you got for us, Sarah?
I think that failure is based on how much you care about it. So I've learned to, I mean, the Ella's parrot straight in the mouth, I really worried about it to begin with.
Right.
By
just
the
squirting.
The second one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On the any time. I think the worst one that's ever happened was when I completely forgot my kid's name. As in, not even kind of a distant, not even a sound.
Just a blue screen.
And
like
it was
like
an
flat line.
It was nothing. I was feeding him. The other one was running around. You do that thing where you're kind of slightly panicking because mm-hmm. he might kind of leave and you've got your boob out. And there was a very glamorous kind of American little foursome. And he was like, oh, your kid's so cute. What's his name? And I was like, I don't remember. Nothing. I have absolutely nothing for you. And he gave me a look that made me think that I shouldn't have him.
Yeah, you, no. You've not qualified for this
no,
job.
No, I've not qualified for this job.
No.
That was low.
Oh, that's a good one. That's very strong.
Have you got one, Ellie?
I've got a confession. It's not sort of parenting-y,
yeah.
But it is sort of legal related. Does that count? No, just go with that. So this is before I even had kids. I lived in Vietnam for a bit in what we call the lost years in Hanoi. And me and my friends used to go to this nightclub pretty much every night because it was the only nightclub pretty much apart from one or two others. But this one was called Apocalypse Now, obviously.
Wow.
And the DJ booth was half a Huey helicopter that they'd rescued from the war.
Wow.
I mean, it was spectacular. Got to know, and they would play requests and stuff.
Yeah,
and we used to hang out with the American Marines from the embassy and stuff. And
this is an amazing part. This is amazing.
She's painting an amazing scene,
yeah,
isn't she?
Amazing scenes. So, and they used to request like cool American music and Eminem and all this. And then when I was like, I'll tell you what, have you heard of Blue? Have you heard of Blue? And they were like, what? And I was like, no, this is a great band, this great British band, Blue. And after about an hour, I persuaded the DJ, I think, just to make me go away, he found All Rise by Blue on the internet. And he played it into Apocalypse Now out of the helicopter. And I was so smashed, and I was doing that. Do you know, you must
yes.
know this song.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know this song, it's a classic of early 2000s popular music by the boy band Blue. And it uses legal metaphors to describe the breakdown of a relationship. It's incredible. Incredibly strong, and I just remember being on my own in the middle of the dance floor in Apocalypse Now going, I'm gonna tell it to your face, I rest my case. One for the money and a free ride, it's free for the lies that you denied. Oh, my eyes.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm amazed.
Did they join you in that?
No, they literally all stood around in a circle. It was like a nightmare. They all stood around in a circle so looking judgy. Like, what's wrong with you? What's this fucking song? Like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. And I was like, fuck you, it's fucking British music. It's my culture. It's my culture. It's a wonder I was not thrown out of the country, quite honestly. So.
Yeah, right. Yes, I've got a Scummy Mummy confession. Thanks for asking, Ellie. So I'm getting into the gym, which means I have to also get into a lot of panty liners because, you know, it involves jumping, etc. But I put a panty liner in haste the other day and half of it folded back. So it was a lot stuck to my inner ass hair while I was trying to do it. And it's nothing worse, listener, than having any of your panty liner sticky bits touching your inner pubes, your inner sanctum pubes.
Did you have to take it off in a communal changing room?
No, I always go to the, like, but you can't kind of, like an old woman, I just sort of got on with it, with the sticky pube bit. I was like, this is not even absorbent, it's the sticky side.
Oh, no.
This is, yeah, anyway, so that's my confession. I can't even put in a panty liner these days. Anyway, what a lovely way to end. Great.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Sarah Langford, your book, In Your Defence, Stories of Life and Law, is out now.
Out now in paperback.
Come on, let's do the admin for old time's sake.
Okay, good-o. All right.
For old time's sake. Book, still in print.
Still in print.
Come see the live show, scummymummies.com, for dates and tickets.
Follow us on social media at Scummy Mummies. And please do rate, review and subscribe to our podcast and tell all your friends.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Sarah.
Thank you very much for having me.
Has it been more fun or less fun than defending a murderer in court?
I mean, there's more alcohol involved, so...
In which...
She needs to drink after both events, Ellie.
Yeah.
Drink to forget.
There's been more talk of cunnilingus in this particular...
Well, yes. And I'm sure it doesn't come up very often in the bar.
Well, I mean...
Has anyone ever been murdered by cunnilingus? Feels unlikely.
It does.
What a way to go, though, eh? What a way to go.
I've told you this before, I've fallen asleep during it, but it was just because it was quite gentle and very relaxing.
No, mate, because it was shit.
Okay, fair enough. Apparently it's done snoring, which is always lovely, lovely feedback for anybody's work, really. Good.
Thank you so much.
Until
next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. This one, leaves nail clippings by the bed.
Oh, I have to say, that's never happened to me.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
So he would have to exfoliate my feet.
That's an apt. That's an
a good tip
quite
for tap.
An apt, yes. Yeah. For 22 minutes. I'd take that.
That's reasonable.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't do it, would it, really?
What? What are you saying about my feet, Sarah?
She's
scrub.
That's true.
I go down a shoe size every time I go and see the...
Mine exfoliate. She'd need a wax. She's like a fucking hobbit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.